Tuesday, the 29th of October, 2024.
It's 2 minutes to eight now and time for the weather with Brandon Cray.
Well, it's looking mostly settled over the coming week, but it will be mostly cloudy too with some light rain at times.
Wednesday, the 30th of October.
Well, with the high pressure building, there'll be a fair amount of dry weather this week, though it'll be rather cloudy and there'll be some light rain and drizzle at times.
Thursday, the 31st of October.
From Jerry Murphy.
So between now and Monday, our weather is going to be mainly dry, mild, but mostly cloudy.
Friday, the 1st of November.
So overall, it's going to be very calm, settled and a mostly dry couple of days, but the caveat is it'll be very cloudy.
Drizzly and cloudy at the end of October and into November. Not exactly remarkable, I know. But it went on and on.
Well, cloudy or overcast once again today.
And on and on.
Well, the weather this week is set to be fairly similar to last week.
It was as if our weather had got stuck.
So between now and Monday, our weather is going to be mainly dry, mild, but mostly cloudy.
In fact, that was exactly what had happened. Europe's weather had all got stuck.
There's a large area of high pressure extending over much of Western Europe at the moment, and that's dominating the weather over Ireland and will continue to do so over the coming days, keeping active weather systems well away from us.
It just didn't move. And while for Ireland that days and days of warm grey drizzle wasn't exactly a hardship, elsewhere it brought disaster.
Well, the weather across Spain has been a lot more severe than anything we've experienced here in Ireland this week. It's all been down to a large area of low pressure, which has become stalled over the Iberian Peninsula. And that's brought extremely persistent and heavy rainfall for parts of Spain where we've seen all that devastating flooding.
This waterway was designed to protect Valencia from flooding. But last night, that defence failed.
In just a matter of hours, a year's worth of rain fell in parts of Spain.
Dozens of people remain unaccounted for.
Everywhere you look, there's stinky, sticky brown mud.
Flash floods there claimed more than 200 lives and left a trail of destruction in their wake.
The floods took lots of dogs, horses, it took away everything.
I'm sorry, it's just helplessness, it's impotence. Every 4 years or 2 years, I'm starting over again.
The weather got stuck because it was blocked by a meandering and lazy jet stream. Our weather is getting stuck a lot more in the last 40 years. Why? I'm Philip Boucher-Hayes and this is Hot Mess. Has the jet stream lost its way? Has climate change knocked one of the Earth's key weather influencers off course?
I'm Jennifer Francis. I'm a senior scientist at the Woodwell Climate Research Center in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And I study the atmosphere and climate change and how especially changes in the Arctic, but changes in the climate generally, are causing changes to our weather patterns, in particular extreme weather.
And Jennifer, of all of the things that you devote yourself to now, how much thinking do you do about these meandering jet streams?
Well, jet streams are the key to weather. Pretty much all of our weather is caused by variations in jet streams, and jet streams are these fast-moving rivers of wind high up over our heads, up at altitudes where jets fly. And they generally encircle the northern and southern hemispheres and blow from west to east. And those jet streams are there because it's so much colder in the Arctic than it is farther south. And the bigger that temperature difference is, the stronger those jet streams are. And those wiggles, the north-south waves in the jet stream, are what create the high pressure and low pressure areas that we would see on a television weather map. So as you can imagine, anything that affects jet streams is going to affect also our weather.
When the jet streams were doing their thing normally 40 or 50 years ago, how wide were they? How fast are they? How high up are they? And how much do they tend to change normally from summer to winter?
Yeah, so they do vary quite a lot day to day and week to week and certainly season to season. So the winds are strongest in the wintertime when that difference in temperature between the tropics and the Arctic is the largest. And in summer, they tend to get quite weak because that temperature difference is also much weaker. And the winds tend to blow, you know, up to 300 kilometers per hour. So these waves that I mentioned, the north-south swings in the jet stream, also vary quite a lot. Sometimes they're relatively small. And when they're small, they progress really quickly from west to east. So, and what we would experience in those conditions would be a rapid change from, say, a stormy day to a couple of really nice days as high and low pressure areas move quickly from west to east. But when those waves get really big and we see these big northward swings and southward dips in the jet stream, those waves tend to move very slowly from west to east. And what we experience as a result is what seems like weather systems and weather patterns becoming very stuck.
Met Aaron said the three named storms that we experienced in the past week, Dudley, Eunice and Franklin, were all heavily influenced by the speed and the position of the jet stream passing above Ireland. Now new research from Maynooth University's Icarus Climate Centre suggests we're likely to see much more of this in the future.
So our research shows that the average winter jet speed over the North Atlantic has increased by 8%, so 10 miles per hour. And so that has the potential to make more powerful storms.
The precipitation side of things, so whether it's stormy or not, really depends on where you are relative to the sides of the waves. And so if you could visualize a wave parked over, say, Europe, the area where the winds are coming from the southwest would be the stormy area. So you'd expect to get a lot of rain or snow when that part of the wave in the jet stream is over you. But when the winds are coming down from the northwest, that is where you tend to find high pressure and dry conditions.
And can you say why the jet streams are meandering more frequently and becoming more wavy?
Yeah, so jet streams naturally have some waves in them just because of their interaction with things like mountain ranges. Mountain ranges tend to sort of shove those winds north or south around them. Things like the Greenland ice sheet, which is also very high, tends to disrupt the straight west to east paths. Generally, when the jet stream winds are quite strong, they are affected less by those sorts of barriers. And when those jet stream winds are weaker, which can happen naturally, or it can also happen because of various factors related to climate change, then we see those waves tend to be larger because those winds that are weak are much more easily deflected by something like a mountain range or a Greenland ice sheet or even a heat wave in the ocean. If we do see those weaker winds, we do tend to also see those bigger north-south swings in the jet stream.
So if the jet streams are influenced by changes in temperature, what impact then is all of that massive amount of heating of the oceans and the rapid warming of the Arctic Circle having on them?
Yeah, so different effects. So the Arctic is a simpler one to envision because it's really the whole northern cap of the northern hemisphere that has been warming much more rapidly than the globe as a whole. In fact, the Arctic has been warming 3 to 4 times faster than the globe as a whole. So what that means is that the north-south temperature difference then is getting smaller. And when that temperature difference is smaller, we tend to see weaker west-to-east winds of the jet stream, which, as we just talked about, that usually is associated also with larger waves in the jet stream. So kind of the bottom line there would be that as we see the Arctic continue to warm much faster, especially in the fall and winter months, then we're also tending to see these bigger waves happen more often and these weather regimes become more persistent.
A look at the data here shows how average temperatures have consistently risen over the past 20 years.
winter temperatures in Nyålesund have risen by nearly 8 degrees in the last 50 years.
This past summer was the wettest on record, and then a heat wave in August set all-time temperature records in several Alaskan and Canadian communities.
This summer in the Arctic was the wettest on record and the second warmest in more than a century.
The Arctic Circle is warming at an alarming rate, four times faster than anywhere else on Earth. But can we join the dots between the jet stream wobbles and the extreme weather events in Europe?
We do have evidence that jet streams have become wavier over the past few decades in the wintertime. As we see these wavy patterns happening more often, we're also seeing these persistent weather regimes happening more often. So it could be that certain areas are drier and warmer than normal, but in other areas, you could be stuck in a pattern with extreme rainfall and very persistent rainfall leading to flooding.
So I can understand then how you could draw a line between a block in the jet stream and drought and wildfire or flooding after long periods of persistent rain. But how is the jet stream meandering implicated in a flash flood event like what happened in Valencia last October, where they got a year's worth of rain in an afternoon, basically? It wasn't a persistent, enduring event.
That wasn't really a persistent pattern that caused that flooding. It was just a very extreme kink in the jet stream that brought very moist tropical air into that area and let loose just incredibly heavy rainfall over a couple of days. So sometimes it's just a very severe wave in the jet stream. And when we see these big sharp kinks like that, we can expect to see some pretty extreme weather. Sometimes it's tornadoes, sometimes it's thunderstorms, sometimes it's just heavy rain like it was in that condition. So it isn't always a persistent pattern that will cause events like that.
And Jennifer, final question for this part of the program. Is it climate change that is causing these exaggerated waves in the jet stream? Can you say that now without fear of contradiction?
Well, I think the evidence is piling up that that is indeed the case. And as we've discussed, the Arctic warming is a great example of that, because we know that the Arctic is warming so fast because of climate change. So if in turn, then that is leading to more persistent weather, which then causes more extreme events, then I think we can draw a pretty solid line now between climate change and extreme events.
Deadly heat has been baking Japan and Britain. Wildfires in Greece, Scandinavia, and the western United States also costing lives. And then record rainfall in the northeastern U.S.
Floods in Pakistan, wildfires in Croatian tourist centers, heavy storms in Brazil in January, heat waves around the world.
Global sea surface temperatures were the warmest in August for any month since records began in 1850.
Europe is being battered by extreme weather with record high temperatures and severe storms.
Coming up next, what all this might mean for Ireland. The Arctic is warming up, the equator is getting hotter too. Less of a temperature difference between the equator and the poles is causing the jet streams to reduce in speed. When that happens, the jet streams get lost and start meandering all over the globe. That can bring Arctic weather from the North Pole south, or wet weather from the tropics north. And it can also cause weather to get stuck. The same conditions being experienced for days, even weeks on end.
Well, certainly that kind of change is going to be more obvious, and we do expect to see that happening more often in areas like the UK and Ireland.
Jennifer Francis from the Woodwell Climate Research Centre in Massachusetts. One of Jennifer's main areas of research over a long career has been how the warming Arctic has impacted weather.
I think we can say that we're already seeing these persistent patterns happening more often. And interestingly, some of our other research also suggests that we're seeing not only these persistent patterns, but also the dramatic shifts from one pattern to another. And we call that weather whiplash. So you can imagine it being relatively warm and dry during, say, the month of January, and then all of a sudden it shifts to very cold and snowy conditions. So whenever we see one of these big shifts from a very persistent pattern, whether it's, you know, warm or cold, to the exact opposite, then those are the kinds of changes that might become much more obvious as well.
I'm just thinking that persistent rainfall followed by whiplash to drought would make it really tough for anybody in farming, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. And we've seen that exact thing happen, especially in the southwestern part of the United States, where last winter it was extremely wet, record-breaking wet in the very southern part of California, which led to a lot of extra vegetation growing in the mountains. And then it flipped to a very dry, stormless pattern from May through January. And so all of that vegetation that grew dried out, became great fuel for fire, so that all it took was just the right wind conditions to set off those fires. And those are the kinds of things that we can see happening more often. And indeed, agriculture has a very hard time when those kinds of shifts happen, and especially when they're not typical for a particular season.
Jennifer, we had a near record-breaking period in February where we didn't see the sun for 11 days. Now, not a disaster by any means, just a bit depressing. Is that stuck weather as well?
Yes, absolutely. So it's, you know, the weather conditions can be anything, and they can get stuck in that particular condition. So, you know, extreme drizzle is a thing. So it doesn't have to be an extreme event per se that causes destruction and damage. It can just be dreary conditions, or it could be very persistent, lovely conditions. So it could go both ways.
But at the much more destructive end of the spectrum, there was a new record for wind speed was set during Storm Eowyn recently, which I have checked, and it coincided with really, really fast jet streams. Is that a coincidence, or is there a link?
There's always a link between a strong jet stream and a strong storm. You will never have a strong storm in Ireland that isn't associated with a kink with strong winds in the jet stream, because, as I said, the jet stream is what creates all of the weather that we experience. And indeed, the jet stream was very strong. You know, that's way up high in the atmosphere. And that energy then gets translated into a very strong low pressure system at the surface, which brings those strong winds into your country. And that's exactly what happened in that case. Wasn't necessarily associated with climate change in any way, although we know that any storm that forms now is forming in a very different environment than it used to. There's a lot more moisture in the atmosphere now because of the warm oceans and warmer air. And that moisture in the air actually is the fuel that storms feed from. And so having more moisture means that not only are we seeing stronger storms, but also when they do dump precipitation, there will be more of it.
Jennifer, recently there's been a lot of media attention on the possibility of the overturning circulation of the Atlantic Ocean slowing down. In fact, there's going to be a programme in this series on it. But in your opinion, is the slowing down of the jet stream of significantly more immediate consequence to a country like Ireland?
Yeah, so the jet stream changes are already happening, and they're already causing changes in the frequency of extreme events. And we know that's already occurring. The shifts in AMOC are quite subtle still. I mean, they're observable, but they're not obvious, except that we are seeing a pool of cooler than normal ocean temperatures south of Greenland that has been quite persistent, and that does affect weather patterns somewhat in your area. But the AMOC is a very gradual change. And so in terms of the immediacy of the effects and what, you know, your listeners will be experiencing, it'll be much more obvious to see these changes in the jet stream than it will be to changes in AMOC.
And Jennifer, what is going to happen to the jet stream at 1.5 degrees, then at 2 degrees of additional warming? Will it meander more? Will it bring even more extreme weather?
Well, they will continue to become more noticeable. I mean, it's hard to put a number on that, but we are seeing a major uptick in the frequency of billion-dollar weather disasters, and that trend will only continue unless we can rein in our emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases that are causing this warming in the first place. And so, yeah, we're going to see hotter heat waves. We're going to see longer and more extreme droughts. We're going to see heavier precipitation events. We're going to see stronger storms. We're going to see hurricane seasons lasting longer and hurricanes going into places where they don't typically go. There'll be a lot of surprises in the changes in the weather, especially as we continue to warm the planet. So it's really on us to rein in our emissions of greenhouse gases. That's the disease that's underlying these symptoms that we've been talking about. And the sooner we can do that, the less bad it'll be for our kids and their kids.
Dr. Jennifer Francis from the Woodwell Climate Research Center in Massachusetts. That's all for this program. Thanks for listening.
Hotter heat waves, longer and more extreme droughts, heavier precipitation events, stronger storms, hurricane seasons lasting longer, and hurricanes going into places where they don't typically go. There'll be a lot of surprises in the changes in the weather, especially as we continue to warm the planet.